Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
How to produce live comedy with your friend Emily. How to produce live comedy with E-M-I-L-Y Emily.
Welcome to How to Produce Live Comedy, a limited series podcast. I'm your host, Emily Winter. I'm a stand-up sketch and character comedian in Brooklyn. I've been a staff writer at TV Land and Fusion. For the last 5 years, I've produced a Time Out Critics Pick monthly variety show called Back Fat that's moving to Brooklyn's Union Hall this year. I also co-created the largest geographic comedy festival. It was called What a Joke, and it happened simultaneously in 32 cities to raise money for the ACLU. I also helped produce a Time Out Critics Pick Brooklyn weekly stand-up show called Side Ponytail. I'm doing this podcast because I thought it might be helpful to share what I've been learning about producing with the comedy community and anyone else interested in this topic.
I'm really excited to introduce my first guest for my first show. She is a wonderful comedian. She's been on Just for Laughs, and she also recently won Philly's Funniest Comedian. It's Abby Rosenquist.
Hello, it's me.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Abby just walked in, and she is starting her first show, and this is going to be Starting a Show 101, and I'm also going to have, this is a limited series podcast, so I'm going to have other episodes on how to throw a festival, how to do a gimmick show, how to throw shows on the road. But this is just, if you want to throw a live comedy show for the love of it, we'll just go through all the basics, because you are starting a show soon in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm. At the Zombie House. Yeah, it's on Flatbush. It's right off the Parkside Queue.
Oh, cool. Great. Yeah. That is one awesome thing that's like part of, I have like all these outlines and notes about things, but right off a subway stop
is important.
How did you find your location?
It was actually, there is a neighborhood group, Facebook group, and my roommate was on it, and she noticed somebody was looking to start a show at their place. So the guy who owns the place wanted to start a show.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's like
it
such
was perfect.
A,
yeah.
And you were just like, I'm here. Were you already looking to start a show?
Yeah, I had wanted to start a show, but I hadn't been actively looking for a while just because I'd been out of town and stuff. And so this, yeah, it couldn't have worked out better.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like that's such a big part of when you're looking for a venue. A lot of venue owners and like managers, they've been burned by comedy before. And so they're not enthusiastic about it. And that's totally fair. Or they just never thought of it. And so sometimes like when you approach a place, they're very like, I guess we could maybe have comedy, or they just seem kind of rude or mean. And like, those are definitely places to avoid. I think like, I don't know, if the people that are running it, are running the space, aren't into it, like they can make it fail. It's
totally.
Like really surprising.
Yeah, no, this guy hasn't been burned yet, thankfully. He seems excited about it.
So is it a private space, or is it more of like an ambush style show? Which I think that there's merits to both.
Is it like a back room?
Yeah.
No, it's not a back room. It's just the main bar. It's like kind of like a long bar, and it's pretty thin room. And then I guess the stage would be in the back.
Okay.
I guess it's an ambush show.
It's an ambush show, which I don't think is like necessarily a bad thing. It just takes a certain constitution to host an ambush show. I mean, we've both done ambush shows that are really wonderful shows. Yeah. And by ambush, we mean there's going to be people that are drinking at the bar just because it's their neighborhood bar that they like, and then suddenly there's comedy. And sometimes those people are drunk and rowdy or just want to talk to their friends, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, how do you navigate that?
Totally.
As a producer, and I'm going to do another episode on hosting, and I guess we can get into that more. But yeah, I think it's just like you just have to be prepared to, I don't know, as a host, talk to them. As a producer, tell them what's going to happen ahead of time. I think like warning people in the bar like 5 to 10 minutes ahead of time is like so important. But if you have the support of the venue, like I said, that's super great. I also think with like long skinny bars, it's that can be hard because you have so much physical distance between you and the audience. And it's like, that's okay. And especially you can like pack it in and make it feel really tight and warm. But I think if you like walk into a venue and you can't imagine where the people will be, that's like when you're like, maybe this is not the right venue, which is like stuff you're like past this already. But I guess I like made a little list of things that are really bad at venues. I hate it when, and if you have any, because you've done shows everywhere, if you have any to add, tell me. When there's like gigantic tables so that people are actually like physically far away from each other.
Oh, yeah.
When there's super high ceilings, laughs like disappear up into the, which is like, it's okay if you're, yeah, I don't know, if your venue has some of these things, but like you might just like, I don't know, super high stages at rock clubs can be really hard because it does create like physical distance. Bad sound systems, bad lighting. If there's no spotlight, if the comedian is shrouded in darkness, that's really a bad, like you have to like, and it's not terrible to ask the venue owners, like, what's the lighting situation? Do I need to bring my own light? Like, because if they can't see the comic, it's not going to be good. And I just think like, if there's no chairs and if you can't imagine where people, you know, if you have to like sit on a stool with no back and like crane your neck and look around a pole to see a comic, like you're not going to want to stay for the show, you know? Okay. So, and you are running your show near your place.
Yeah, it's super close.
That's awesome. That's like another great thing. It just makes it easy for you. And you're in like a location that has a lot of young people that like go out. So let's move on to things that you still have questions about or that you are wondering about as you start your show.
Cool. Let's see. Numero uno. When you're originally talking to the owner about the show, what should you expect, like, compensation-wise? Like, I made sure that, like, there'll be drink tickets for the comics or whatever, yeah. But I don't really know the worth of the show. Like, is it one of those, like, you start off, like, on a trial period, and then after a while, you're like, okay, well, clearly it's going well, so now you ask for money. I guess I'm like terrible with the money aspect of things.
Right.
And so that makes me the most uncomfortable. So,
yeah. I think it's good. That's a great question. And I think it's good to like figure out the monetization of the show, if any, ahead of time. And that's not to say I demand $500 per show, especially in New York. Like in New York and LA, it's like so saturated with comedy. So like we're not going to get as much money as if we were starting a show, I don't know, in Milwaukee. I feel like you might go into a bar in Milwaukee and ask for a budget.
Right.
And so you can do that in New York, but I'm not sure that they'll give it to you.
Yeah.
That said, I do think it's completely fair to be able to use the space for free and to be, because you're bringing in business.
Yeah.
And to be able to get drink tickets for your performers. Like these are must-haves for me.
It's funny because like I never really thought about it to like make money or anything.
Right.
But I'm like, am I a fool if I'm not asking? Am I being taken advantage of? Because then you always worry, I don't know, you hear different, you know, opinions on all of that. But I don't know. I don't mind it being a free show. I just don't want it to cost me any money. And so when we were talking about flyers, he was like, oh, well, they print those off. Talking about the band that comes in, but they also make money, so maybe I'll do that. And I'm like, I think that's the only thing I'm going to say is like, I don't want to lose money on running
that's
a show
so
at your
fair.
Venue.
So when they have bands at the venue, do they charge? Do they have tickets? Like, what's their?
Ooh, I don't know. I'll have to ask.
I mean, maybe it's a good idea to say, hey, do you mind if I get in touch with the band? Hey, I have a couple producing questions because. If it's like people go to that bar and expect that they're going to pay $5 to see somebody, it's not out of the question to ask for that. And if you say, hey, like, let me throw three shows. And if they all go well, then maybe we can start ticketing this. But it is a little awkward, I think, to say, oh, this was free and now it's not.
Totally.
I do really like the middle ground. And I think other people are more aggressive about money than I am. And the middle ground of suggested donation.
Totally, yeah. Totally. I think that's the best route.
Yeah, I started doing that. We did not. I started my variety show when I was 6 months into comedy. So I was just looking for a space to perform. So you're also like, why am I doing this? You know, it's just for me, it was because I didn't have any shows booked. And now it's different. Now I'm like, okay, like I've been packing this out for a long time. I don't suck. And my team doesn't suck. And, you know, the performers that we have are stellar. So to ask for a $5 to $10 donation is not wild, you know,
right,
I
totally.
Think that might be a good, I don't know, you can pass something around.
Yeah.
You can say something in the beginning like, hey, this is a great lineup. If you had fun, like we're going to ask for a $5 suggested donation. You can put it in this bucket at any time at the front of the bar. We're going to pass it around at the end.
Nice.
That's like a good way. And I totally agree with you that you shouldn't be losing money on your show unless you have money. Yeah. I mean, like,
I don't. Yeah, exactly. So
it's... But it's like, I think part of it is just using what you have to promote your show. Like, if you're really good at graphics, like, go hard into like making really awesome graphics. If you're like really good at, you have like a lot of sexy selfies, like, post those with like notes, you know. But some people are good at like making videos. Some people have a ton of money to put into promotion and it doesn't even, they're unfazed by it.
Yeah,
that's not me either. But like, whatever it is that you can do well, like, just lean into that for totally. Promoting. But yeah, for somebody that doesn't have money, I would say you shouldn't be losing money. And you should, it would be great. Like, in my mind, it's like, is this a monthly comedy show or is it weekly?
Yeah, that's another thing that we were deciding. I think we're going to start off monthly.
Okay.
Just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, maybe switch it to something else, but probably keep it at monthly or biweekly tops.
Yeah. I think they're all, I think it's all good.
Yeah.
Either way, it's just a very different beast. Like,
right.
Monthly, I feel like I get dressed up for that show. I spend 40 hours of work on it a month. And I guess that's like the main thing about producing live comedy is like, I just feel like it's hard work. It's very hard work.
Totally. I feel like it's a very underappreciated position.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But for the weekly that I work on, there's five producers in it. So we all just have like a few jobs. And I spend probably like an hour a week. I'm also just way more chill about it because it's a weekly and weeklies are not going to pack out every week. It's just not going to happen. And sometimes we have amazing lineups and it's just a light week and we're doing the promo and we're doing everything we got to do. And it's just like you have to accept it.
Yeah.
But with a monthly, I feel like you can really like make it an event.
Totally.
And there's benefits to both. Like I feel the place that I have my weekly, which is really Carolyn Buse's weekly and I help with it. She is a wonderful comedian, but I feel so at home on that stage, even though it's on a Monday, which is another thing we can talk about, like days of the week, which can sometimes be like the energy is a little low, but it's my favorite place to perform because I perform there every week and I feel so comfortable to like bomb and try new stuff. And so there's like a benefit to that.
Yeah.
And I think comedians know, like comedians are like, oh, I'm going to do your monthly. Like, I'm very honored and I'm expecting it to be a little fuller, you know?
Right. Totally. Yeah. That makes sense.
What day are you having yours?
Sunday.
Cool. That's like another, I think there's no wrong day.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think there's like a bad day. I just like have found some sort of surprising things about. So Sunday and Monday to me are like the energy's a little lower.
Yeah.
But there's like a very popular show on a Sunday. You know, there's Butter Boy on Monday and like, you know, the old Night Train and, you know, and I love my Monday show, but I do feel like sometimes you got to pump the energy up.
Yeah.
But you're also not competing with as many shows.
Yeah.
I love Tuesdays and Wednesdays a lot because you're like, those are like, for me, those are like the prime days because great comedians in New York, they're in town.
Oh,
they haven't left.
Shit. Yeah.
I moved my show Back Fat from a Tuesday to a Thursday, and that was a mistake.
Totally.
That was like a huge mistake because people were not in the weekend mode to party yet, but I was losing all these comics that were like, oh, I'm sorry, I got this paid thing out of town, I gotta go, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's actually the worst of both worlds. But my show is in more of like a, you know, I don't know, people in their late 20s, early 30s, professional, like definitely want to get to bed by a certain hour, where if it's in a different part of Brooklyn that's younger, people might stay out later on a Thursday. I don't know. So there's like the nuances of all of that.
Would you say the out of town thing for like the good comics that you want, would you say Sunday or Monday is better for them to be on it?
Because
a lot of weekends are just Saturday, like Friday through Saturday now. They take a lot of the Sundays out.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping
that they'll be back by,
I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, no, I think you'll be fine. It's also, it's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh shit, I can't find a comedian. Like I still have like a list of 200 comedians that I want that I haven't put on the show. It's just that people tend to, like, definitely people were canceling more and saying that they couldn't make the date. And so it's just been like a little tougher.
That makes sense.
And then obviously Friday and Saturday are like super fun because you're going to have like a really amped audience most of the time, but you have a lot of competition out there. And a lot of comedians are gone for the weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's benefits to all of them. And, you'll see about Sundays. But also, like, if it's a stand-up showcase and you're, like, trying to book two people with, like, amazing credits, there's going to be two people with amazing credits in the city. If you know.
Totally.
I have a harder time because I do variety. And variety, yeah. Yeah. I'll do like another episode on gimmick shows. And it's great, but it's just like it has to be a very specific person by the mm-hmm. end, because I'm like, I need somebody that can play the harmonica and read poems. And, you know, there's not that many. And the one person that does it is out of town.
Yeah.
All right. What else is on your list?
Honestly, just getting people there. Like I ran a show in Austin for almost a year, I think, with a friend, but he honestly did more of the promotion stuff, and we didn't even have to do that much. There's like a website called Do512, and you put it on there, and I mm-hmm. think that was helpful. But I just don't know what avenues there are in New York to promote shows.
Yeah, so there are a lot, and I have a list of over 40 Perfect. That I will give to you. But it is, so I'm gonna just like, I'll just give this to you, but I'm gonna read a little bit of it. There's so many places online. I have so many ideas for promoting, but a lot of it is online. A lot of it is listing sites. Time Out is wonderful. Their events guy, his name is David Goldberg. He is the best. He gives really like great write-ups. He's like a great writer. He stays on top of things. Like he, you know, if you get a co-host, he will want to write about, you know, so like just getting to know the people who are so good at their jobs too. Like you start to like learn, like the Skint is another one where the guy really, really, his name is Chris. He really cares about the stuff that he's putting in. So, you'll just like learn which people are responsive and like, so like, mm-hmm. oh, I want photos anyway. So sending emails, it has to be more than 2 weeks, or 2 weeks is the cutoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ahead of time. That is huge. And the best thing to do, are you running this by yourself or are you?
I'll have a co-host, Jordan Fisher.
Wonderful. Okay, cool. So if you and Jordan like get some nice photos when you send your lineup and you send like, hey, we're starting this show or and here's our lineup and here's their credits. It's so important. I mean,
yeah,
it feels obvious to say this, but some people don't do this.
Totally.
They'll book people with amazing credits. Like you have great credits, but people might not know your name. They might not see it and be like, oh, that's the funniest person in Philly. But if you write it right after your name, we're like, okay, this person's probably going to be very funny.
Right.
But if you have some nice pictures taken of you and Jordan in like a fun setting, send and do it over 2 weeks because like I know Time Out, like they prepare what they're going to put in with a 2 week window. And again, it's just using what you're good at. Like if you're so good on Instagram and that's where your people are, like really lean into that, but don't like forget Twitter, but you know, or if you have a million Twitter followers, lean into that. But the thing that has been so surprising and like, so having a show for 5 years, like social media has changed so much and it's like, oh no, I wasn't on Instagram. Now I'm on Instagram. Now I have to promote on it. It's like, it sucks. But what's been so surprising to me is how email, I thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. I didn't work on getting email addresses and it's stuck around. And that is my best thing that isn't big places like the Skint and Time Out. Yeah. And so obviously every city, if you're not in New York, every city has their publications. So like look for the ones like if you were going to look for an event, what websites would you go to and what webs, you know, so just try to think of it from the perspective of an audience member, somebody looking to go to comedy. Yeah.
And when you say emails, you're talking about the emails of the people who come to the shows, like gathering those to keep.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I've never done something like this, but I've thought about being like, hey, it's a $5 suggested donation or put your real email address on this piece of paper because that's worth more to me.
Totally.
Because if they have fun, they'll want to come back. But, you know, you can't like force it because they'll just write a fake email. But, and I'm not as good. So, Eventbrite is a very good website, mm-hmm. and they have, this is a terrible thing to admit, but so they, when people RSVP to your event, you get an email with their email address. So that's how I've built up my email list.
Oh.
So these are people that have RSVP'd to come to my variety show. So hopefully they came and liked it. But they're on my list now. So, right. Yeah. So, like,
do you have like an unsubscribe little thing?
I do have an unsubscribe. Yeah. So, if
is
they
it
get
a little
one,
clicking thing, or do you just tell them to email you and you do it physically?
It's, I use MailChimp for my email. So, they, okay. It comes with one on the bottom.
Cool. Okay.
MailChimp is very easy and it's free and it tells you how many people open your emails. And I think I don't have like the biggest email list ever. It's like 450 or something. But that's enough, and it works, and it's always growing. Yeah, it's MailChimp, and they'll tell you the open rate. So if I send an email to 450 people, 100 people will open it, and that is good. You know, I mean, that's like, especially because I'm like, I'm proud of what I'm doing. I'm not like duping you into something. I'm like sending you the fact that you can see wonderful comedians from TV for free on a Thursday in Brooklyn.
Totally.
So it's kind of evil, but I don't feel that bad about it.
Nah, and they can always unsubscribe.
Yeah, it's very easy to unsubscribe. So I think email, when you write your emails, it's so important to be genuine and not use like, I don't know, I find like...
Oh, because people hate like a canned responses
kind
of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely, totally.
Like marketing-y.
Have
like,
a little bit of personality
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, have a little bit of personality. And this is a terrible example, but it's the one that popped in my head because, you know, he's the devil now. But the genuine way that Louis's emails came, you know, I don't know if you were on his
I
email.
I never was, but I believe
it's
it.
It's like you feel like he's writing to you. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously it's like the worst example, but just the tone of it is very, it's just very like conversational. And I just find that like being genuine in any way is very, and I wanted to do some A/B testing with like where the emails come from. Like if it comes from the name of the show, which is something else that we should talk about, is that better or worse? Then I tend to think I've been putting it from my name or something weird like Barf Monkey or something. Like those are more eye-catching to me than from Back Fat Variety.
Oh, okay.
So like who is this from? Like whenever I see somebody's name, I get an endorphin rush because I think somebody's gonna give me something.
Totally.
When I open my email and I want people to open the email and see what great comics I have.
Yeah.
I also, okay, sorry, this is I'm passionate about this. I'm very passionate about throwing shows and all this stuff, but okay, so I think it's a waste of space to be like, this is in the email thing or any in the email subject line, back fat number 28. I would never do that. Who is that for? That's for me. I would use the number 28 space to be like back fat with axe from Conan and
right.
Last Comic Standing. Like that's like, you know, it's like you have limited space to catch people's attention. You only have so many characters. So I think it's like really important to catch them with something.
Totally. And are you talking about the
subject line?
Okay.
And like headers for like event listings, because you can, you know, you can, there's some on this list, and I'm trying to think of a good like listing one where you just post it. Oh, like Brooklyn. So Brooklyn is a great website that has a great events thing, right. Although their images are down right now, but they said they're putting them back up. But you make your headline. So if you have, what's your show going to be called? Do you know yet?
Half and half.
Half and half. Cool, cool. So yes. If it's like half and half number 3 versus half and half with X from the president show and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Jimmy Fallon. That's like so much more.
Totally.
Yeah. Attention getting. So that is something. I like half and half. How did you guys come up with that name?
Half and half, it's because I want to do a show where, half of the comic set are like their tried and true material and the other half is stuff they've never done before.
Oh,
so
cool.
That way it like guarantees at least half of the show should be good.
Yeah.
But then it also gives comics like a place to try new material in front of real people.
Yeah.
And also it's like there's like a new exciting factor when people are trying new jokes for the first time. So like that's like a fun energy I think that'll be brought to comic sets. So that's
awesome. And if the comics are good, the audience will like being there to see how the sausage gets made.
Totally.
You know?
Exactly.
And I think that that's a perfect name for that. And that goes with, I had like a little thing on naming your shows. I think that for comedy shows, the name of the show should either say what the show is, be funny, or be very official sounding. So like half and half really tells you something, and I'm sure you'll have like a tagline like, mm-hmm. I don't know, this is going to be inarticulate, but like comedians doing like their best, like half best and half new or something, half yeah. newest, you know, whatever, that is terrible. But to tell you what the show is, something funny, like I like Back Fat. That's like very lucky that I still like it after 5 years. So,
that's a great name.
But people remember it and they like laugh when they hear it. And so like, okay, it's already getting you in the right mood for comedy. And then for the other, you could go the totally other way and just be like, this is comedy at zombie, what's the place?
Zombie house.
Zombie house. There's a zombie hut right by me.
I know that I actually went to meet the owner at that place on accident.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that you add in your things. Like, this is zombie house, not zombie hut.
Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like comedy, or like another like really official one that sounds great is Comedians You Should Know.
Right.
Because you're like,
beautiful.
It's, yeah, it's like, oh, I guess I have to go to that then,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who has the audacity to name that if it's not?
Exactly. But really, it's just good. One guy or two guys, you know, just picking people that they think are good. But
right.
still, it sounds like a fucking committee of.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It sounds like a credit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I think that's great. And we'll talk about gimmick shows on another episode. But I think gimmick shows really need to say, and yours is a gimmick show in a way. It's not like a heavy, heavy gimmick.
Right.
And I don't mean to say gimmicks. Like gimmick lightly, you know, but
like it's a slur.
Yeah, I know. Or like theme shows, I guess.
Yeah.
But those always, I think, need to say what they are.
Faux show.
Yeah. So you have a co-host, which is also wonderful. It's good to just divide up and like make sure that you guys are like on your deadlines and whatever. And also, as you cultivate personal relationships with these people, like, to just, I don't know, like lean into that maybe. So the way that I do it with my current co-host of Back Fat is we have our things and we do the same things every month because I know the timeout guy and my friend, my co-host Larry knows how to put up something on Meetup really fast where it would probably take me like 100 years.
Totally.
But yeah, just to like for everyone listening to go over some of this list, it's like there's self-listings like Brooklyn, but also, Craigslist and Yelp events. So that's wherever you are, you can do that. And I email like the New York Times. Nothing is too big or too small.
Worst case scenario, they don't answer.
They just don't. Right. Exactly. And when they do, And like normally the New York Times doesn't put my show in, but when they do, it's very fun to, and then when you get your press, you get double press because then you screenshot it and then you put it on your Instagram and you're like, look at all this love from Time Out. Look at all this love from New York Times. So it's just like, it like doubles down for you and helps you. Then you put it on your Facebook page, which I think you should have. So Facebook is like an example of one that used to be so helpful in promoting shows. And now I had an ad pulled from Facebook because we do for my variety show put in like $20 worth of ads and then we usually get that back in donations and then use the rest of the donations to pay the comics and to pay ourselves but we had an ad pulled from Facebook. I had an all-woman show in September and they said it was discriminatory because it was no men. And then, I know, right? It was so annoying.
Oh,
but then
my God.
I made another ad saying my first ad got denied because it was discrimination. I boosted that. And then that got a lot of attention. And that was one of like the shows, like I'm pretty proud of like packing out this venue. We have like 60 chairs and then like standing room for 30 more. This was like 125 people, like people sitting on the ground, sitting up in like the little cubby holes. Like it was pouring down the stairs. It was like crazy.
That's
and
so
I think
cool. Wait,
part
which
of
venue
it,
is this at?
61 Local.
Oh,
in
right.
Pebble Hill.
Okay.
And it was very fun. And I think part of it was the whole, like, I am now advertising the fact that Facebook's fucked me, you know?
Totally.
Anyway,
yeah,
but
people
yeah.
love getting a people have a common enemy, you know?
Yeah. But Facebook is like so bad with their events now.
Totally.
You have invite people. No one ever sees anything when
until the next day. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have I seen a fucking event? Pardon my French. The next day. I'm like, I didn't even see that before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I never see things
Why are
before
you...
they happen.
It's insane.
It's great. Yeah. And they, if you ever try to share an event now, it gets automatically buried. So that's why everyone's like, link in comments, you know?
Oh.
So like, I'll put up a picture of like, I don't know, so like a I had just had a lot of nice photos of me taken and like put up a nice photo of myself and be like, my show is tomorrow. And then I'll put the link in the comments.
Yeah.
To the event. Because there's no way to. Yeah. There's just it's yeah. So Facebook has really, they're really trying to monetize by getting YouTube.
They're
boost.
Really trying to get people to go to other platforms.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And I'm ready to leave it
jump
behind.
Ship. I know. Me too. I'm like not as into Facebook.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, we've talked about listing sites, website. You can have one if you want to. If that's another thing where it's like, if you're good at it, if it's easy and fun for you to make a website for your show, do it. But like, I don't think it's, I'm not good at that.
Right.
So
maybe
I don't
put it on my website.
Yeah.
As like a,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you had tons of time to, but like, I don't think it's, yeah.
Totally.
Oh, here's a tip that that is unpopular, but I find it very helpful. You can do things in the physical, actual world. Like you were saying, the venue might pay for flyers, if they're willing to do that. Like, and if, especially, well, if they leave them out on the bar, that's very helpful.
Yes.
If you go through the neighborhood and ask bodegas to put them in the window, it's, I know it's a pain in the butt, but if you're like, okay, on my way home from work, I'm going to just go to one bodega every day for 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
That is, it's really helpful. People see that in the real world. And it,
how often, so you go to bodegas a decent amount?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I do sometimes. Like, when I did a festival, I really hate talking to strangers.
Totally.
So this is part of, yeah. But I did it for the festival, and I had a lot of people do it for the festival, and people are generally pretty nice. Sometimes people will say no or not understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
But if there's other flyers, and you know what? I used to do it more for Back Fat before I felt that we had kind of like a good, stable base for, you know, you can never get too comfortable, but like I did it, I used to do it more, and I used to, because I used to live by the venue, so I would just like go up and down, and I knew the places. You start to know, like, oh, they're very friendly. Like the one bodega guy I would just like kind of hang out with anyway, because so yeah. But he would always put up my stuff, and so yeah, so people are generally more friendly than you would expect.
Yeah.
And I did, yeah, I've done it for a couple shows here and there, but not regularly. But a thing that I do sort of regularly in the summer is I chalk. And that's a very unpopular thing,
Oh. But
it works, I think. I mean, people...
Unpopular with...
Nobody wants to do it. This is like not... These are not cool, sexy
okay.
ways to...
Totally.
Yeah, to promote shows. Nobody wants to
just
be seen
go out at
literally...
in the morning.
Yeah, writing on the sidewalk. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You know, there is something like, oh boy, what I'm doing for my career. And you're just like in a skirt, bent over, like... You know, with your cellulite out to the world, writing yeah. Back Fat Variety. There's like a little bit of a...
It's actually a good idea, though.
But it does...
If you do it when nobody's around.
Yeah, it's also fine. It's just like, I get why people don't want to do it, and it feels a little demeaning, and don't wear a skirt when you do it, and I've learned the hard way many times. And,
yeah, yeah.
But just, you know, I would just, like, write the name of the show, when, where, and with acts from... Like mm-hmm. one place, because obviously you can't write a novel.
Yeah.
But people have said when I chalk that they saw the chalk. So
yeah.
That like makes me think that, yeah.
So wait, you pass around a clipboard with emails on there?
So I keep my note. I should do that. I should do that. And I don't do that. And then that is, yeah. But what I keep a notebook out on a table where I like sometimes have free stuff or.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm like, you can sign up. That is not as effective as a clipboard. Clipboard is the way to go. Do the clipboard, but I get so many RSVPs on Eventbrite that's how I get my list. I
okay.
steal the emails from.
So I was going to say, do you ask around to see like where people, like how do you hear about the show?
Sometimes I'll do that at the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's okay to do that. Yeah, and I get a lot of, when I ask, I get a lot of Time Out, The Skint, Brooklyn.
Nice.
Yeah. Or I was in the neighborhood and something saw, I don't know. So that's
yeah.
more like chalking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think I need to invest in a clipboard. Okay. What else on the promotional? This is the biggest bullet. Okay. Nobody's coming to your show? Here. This is a great, do pair up with a charity. Boom. You got a packed show. That's it. That's,
yeah.
It's so easy.
Whoa.
And the only thing is you're not going to get paid. But if you're like, I want butts and chairs, that's what I want. And then you also feel great and do something great for totally. The world. Like, you know, it's like a win-win, except for nobody's getting paid.
Yeah.
I mean, you could still pay, you know, you could say,
those
hey,
orphans
I wanna...
are getting paid.
Exactly. You could still say, like, hey, I want to put, like, pay each comic $10 or $5 bucks or something, and do that for yourself, too. But they will, you know, like a local, like, dog rescue or something
totally.
Will push it out on their social. They have their own network. People will come out for a reason, you know, and they'll also be in a better mood, I find.
Yeah, because they feel better about themselves.
They feel better about themselves. They're doing a great thing. They want to laugh. They want this to be fun. They're not coming in with, like, skepticism. Yeah, so I think that is one very easy way to make your show full.
Yeah.
A local charity that has good social media is very attractive. Oh, and then, okay, so just going, I think also just going to other people's shows, seeing how they do it, and also just, like, showing up for, like, goodwill. I mean, everyone wants to go to more shows, and it's, like, hard to do, and I'm trying harder, you know?
Yeah,
so, but it's just, like, being a part of the community, I think, in a way of, like, I'll go to your show and, like, come stop by my show, you know, just trying to get people to do that. And I also think liking people's stuff on social media is such a huge... You want your show poster to get 100 likes? Like a bunch of people's shit. I mean, there's, like, a science to it.
Yeah.
The more hearts you throw out in a day, the more hearts are going to come back to you. It's just
social
media karma. Anyway, confirm with the comics the day before. Ask them to arrive 10 minutes early. That's not really in promotions. But those are the main ways that I promote, I guess. Like, the listings, the trying to get press, email, huge. Social media, which can be a pain in the ass. And then sometimes in the summer more, I'll do, like, physical stuff where it's like there's a chalking. Oh, and then the bar that I'm currently at has a chalk sign, and I'll ask for a chalk overlay, and I'll write, like, that this is happening on the board. I think if they have that space outside, you should ask for it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have
totally.
One of those. Overall, I think, like, when I'm promoting, I always think about the golden rule for audience, like, would you want to sit here and watch this? Like, how long is your show? Like, do you, like, is it really, would you want to sit for 2 hours and watch 10 new comedians?
No.
Like, exactly.
Oh my gosh. So many people put too many people on shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, like, a huge,
does a disservice to everybody.
If you don't have an intermission, which I don't like intermissions, some places force you to do it, but then you have to get the energy back up. I think, like, 6 comics. Like,
I think so too.
That's it.
5 to 6, maybe book 5. That way, last minute, you can
Absolutely.
Always throw somebody on.
Absolutely.
Have some flexibility.
With booking, this is also sort of an unpopular opinion because I don't think people want to hear it, but hopefully, I think it's, like, super important to book. I think this because one of the guys in the media that I send stuff told me this. He won't even consider any show that doesn't have 2 major credits.
Oh.
And so I always that's my first thing is I'm like, I need 2. And what I mean, I think credits are different in different cities. I think for New York and LA, credits are TV. I don't think festivals are a credit unless it's JFL, then I feel like that's like a maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But
that's one where it's so funny cuz JFL's somewhat of a big deal in the comedy community, but most people don't even know what it is if they're not a comic. I didn't know what it was for a while into comedy, so it's like...
Yeah, I think it's big. It's big for us. I would prefer TV over...
Totally.
But
you
do.
You
gotta
do what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. Because regular people don't know what that is, but regular people know that Jimmy Kimmel has a TV show, and if this guy was on it, that's pretty cool, you know? Hard and fast rule for me ever since. And it was years ago when one of the listing guys was like, you can't, if you send me a lineup without 2 major credits, I'm not even thinking about it. I get a million of these a day. I don't know who any of these names are.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that should inform booking. And then after that, have fun. You know, I mean, if your credits are like a little shaky, then maybe try for 3, you know, can't hurt to have more than 2, but we talked about time limit. Do you feel like are you guys going for a time limit on your
I would prefer to keep it between an hour and a half tops.
Yeah. I think that's perfect. 90 minute tops.
I can't subject anyone to more than that. Because even if it's a great show, they want to come back. You know what I mean? Right. You don't want to give people too much. They're going to be too full. Like, you want them to come with, like, oh, I could see more of that.
Yeah.
You know? That's the feeling you want, I think.
Don't you feel like when you look at a lineup that you're on and there's, like, 10 people on it, don't you feel sad?
Yes, so sad.
Because you're like, oh, no, people probably won't even stick around for my set.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, oh, you can go at the end and do longer. It's like,
no.
Oh, wow. So I have to do more time in front of less people. That's a punishment.
That don't want to be there. Yeah. And, like, it's listen, crazy. I'll do it. I'm happy to take it. But
right.
Like,
no. Yeah, I'll do whatever.
I'd rather just be like, hey, how about you book me next month on a lineup with 6 people?
Yeah.
You know? On the thing of writing to credits, like, you have a good network of comedians. Some comedians don't. And when I started BackFet when I was 6 months in, I did not know famous comedians at all. Mm-hmm. But my co-host at the time was just, like, she was great at writing to people and saying, like, writing to more famous comedians. Obviously, mm-hmm. you're not going to get Amy Schumer to do your bar show. That's not what I'm talking about. But, like, people that have, like, great credits that are not the one of the top 2-3 most famous comedians in the country, but just saying, like, hey, like, yeah, like, I saw you on Conan and I really loved it, and I would be really honored if you did my show. Here's the date. Here's the time. Also, tell them the date, time, and location.
Yeah.
Help. Yeah. So maybe they can't make it across the city that night. Tell them so that you're not, like, annoying them with, like, a back and forth.
Right. Yeah.
But I think you just, like, write a really respectful email. And if a lot of, you know, or Facebook message or Twitter DM, if you guys, whatever way you can get at them that is not, like, super annoying, I think is appropriate. Some people have their Gmails on their websites. You're not going to have much luck through agents and managers.
No.
If for an unpaid show, they're just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
Unless sometimes a manager will, like, reach out on behalf of a really accomplished comedian, like, oh, she's trying a new thing and she wants places to do it. Yeah. We'll have her, you know, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my feeling on this. Oh, the guy from The Skint told me the most interesting thing. And once he told me it, I started recognizing it. At 10 p.m. on a work night, people leave, even if it means they miss the big headliner. People will leave it. Even if your show started at 9 and you have, you know, you have a wonderful comedian on at, you know, that they know from TV, they're going to leave at 10.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
I'm wondering about Sunday. I was thinking, like, 8 p.m. and then they'll be done by 9, right?
You know? Yeah, I think that's perfect. 9:30. Yeah, worst case scenario, 9:30. It's a 10 p.m. thing, and I never noticed it. And then when he mentioned it, I started noticing it all over the place. It's crazy. Huh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Obviously, book diverse lineups. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my, don't be a dick.
It's funny because, yeah, the owner was kind of talking to me about that. He was like, I just need to make sure that you're going to book. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, like, crazy that you have to.
Yeah. Some people don't.
Exactly.
And it sucks. As a woman, you know, you've been the only woman on a lineup.
Totally.
You are a breath of fresh air. Sometimes people love you just because you're not a man.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions?
I can't think of any at the moment.
Do you guys have a poster or art?
I am currently making one. That I have mostly done.
Because you posted. Are you using one of the poster making sites?
I can't remember the name of it, but Deborah was nice enough to let me use something. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay,
but
there are a bunch.
Yeah.
If you're not a Photoshop person.
No, that's another thing. It's like, I think I'm gonna try to learn a lot more of that for stuff like this, because I feel like, you know, it makes you more valuable. To be able to do a bunch of, I don't know.
It's very fun to be able to Photoshop your face on a horse for a slideshow.
Exactly.
For, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's just, but I'm lucky I, like, learned it in college and then,
yeah.
But there are so many, like, the one that I can think of is Canva because I've used it before. But there's so many services where you can make posters on your phone or on your computer and they have all the elements. But I think it's so important to make it look nice.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, my gosh. Totally.
And if you can't do it, get somebody else to do it and don't wait till the last minute because you got to send this shit out. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen some bad posters.
Ugh. What's your number one bad poster thing?
I don't know how to describe it. There's just, like, a certain type of poster Well, first of all, like blurry pictures are like when people have the pictures, but they distort the sizes because mm-hmm. they want to make them all the same size. It's like, no, just make it the size that it is.
Yeah.
Even if it looks, I hate the stretched out thing. I don't know, like the, you go. What are your pet peeves? Oh,
when there's like red curtains and a microphone, yeah. I'm like, oh, this isn't a show for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do it, but it's definitely in Manhattan and it's definitely going to be like pulling people off the street that don't really want to be there. And it's, yeah, but pixelated, bad photos.
The word diva unironically.
Yeah.
Divas.
Yeah, I think using faces is such a double-edged sword because you're drawn to look at them. It's also like the pictures have to be good and like, I don't know. I don't like a flyer with like six, like.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be putting pictures. I think yeah. I'm just going to put names.
Yeah, I think that's good. And credits? Can
yeah.
you fit credits?
Yeah.
It's hard, but I think it's worth it. Even if somebody has 12 credits and one of them's Conan, that's fine. You know?
Also, do you ever just put them like at the bottom, like the all everybody's, or do you specifically put them next to the people?
For my variety show, I only book 5 people per show, and we only have like we only do 6 shows a year where it's a showcase. And so, anyway, it's just so few people that I can put it right next to their name. But okay. I'm throwing like a New Year's Eve show, and it's like not a million people, but there's like 10 because and everyone's working on different year in review things. And for that poster, I just put like with acts from.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah. Because I'm like, we just, also I don't like, it's great comedians that have some good credits, but also like not household names. Like if it was like, okay, yeah, Jimmy Fallon's going to be on my New Year's show, I'd probably call it the Jimmy Fallon New Year's show.
You totally, know? Totally.
Do you have any other questions? Or are you feeling like, I have,
Day of show stuff?
I have day of show stuff. Get there early. This is one that is like a huge thing for me. I don't get it when producers are rude to the audience. You're
that is
a kind
insane
person.
To me, especially when there's not very many comics not very many audience members. And so they like are in a bad mood or shitty about it. It's like there are people who did show up. So
yeah.
Maybe treat them nicely. You should actually treat them even nicer.
It's all they are all you have. And it's not their fault that other people
totally.
Didn't show up. But it's like so sometimes like in the private space, like people come up early for my show and I'll be like, hey, thanks for coming. You can put your coat down if you want to save a seat. We're still kind of working on getting our shit together up here. But like save yourself a seat. Go get a drink. You
yeah.
know, we'll open the door in 10 minutes or something just to be like, you're a person. Thank you for being here. It's like such a basic thing that I see people don't do a lot. I don't
Ooh,
know.
What about like I just thought about this. Like a drink special for the show.
Love it.
Like a,
That's a great idea.
I wonder if it could even be like comedy happy hour or something. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like a,
as like,
but like a little later. So I don't know. Anyway, just some kind of
if
discount.
I were like for your show, if there's like some sort of creamy frothy drink, like is like a nod to Half and Half. That
right,
would be
right.
like a really fun if they'd be interested in doing it.
Yeah.
That's like a fun added on gimmick.
Totally.
And like, you know, normally something like this would be like $7, but tonight it's $5, you know?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That could be very fun. Okay. I like to give the comedians a lineup and tell them where they are on the show. I like to get there early, make sure that the lighting and everything is working out and you know, something I always forget to do, not always, half the time forget to do, is take photos of the show.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to do.
It's, yeah.
You're creating promo for yourself. And also, like, if you have a good relationship with a photographer, get them to come and take nice pictures, you know?
Yeah.
You can use that. Yeah. Okay, be nice to the bartenders and the sound people. That's is like basic. Oh, and lighting and timing. Okay, so this thing happened yesterday. I was doing a show where it was a month by month year in review, and I was December 2017, so I was last, and everyone got 5 minutes. So ideally, it's like an hour, and there was like a little intermission, and there was a huge timing light thing, and the producer. So February went for 20 minutes. And she just ranted. She just didn't tell jokes. She just ranted for 20 minutes. It walked a lot of the people. It was, I think a lot of these people are not stand-up, so they're not, like, attuned to the light the way we are. I'm trying to be like, okay, in her shoes, if you see, oh, you get 5 minutes, that means just like, oh, do your thing, girl. You know, it's like, it's not a hard and fast. But I was losing it, and then other people did over 10. So I didn't get up till almost midnight. This was a 9:30 show. I did 5 minutes to people that really didn't, that I think were traumatized into staying. There weren't that many people left. But, like, as a producer, you're in charge of, like, what's happening. And, like, I think a lot of stand-ups are good. They want to get rebooked. Like, generally, they're not going to, like, blow the light like crazy. But it does happen. And I think, you know, if it's super egregious, as a producer, you can just set, if you're not hosting, send your host on stage and say, hey, I'm sorry, like, we're on a schedule. And, like, if, you know, you can tell the comedians that before the show, like, like, hey, like, we're really tight tonight. So when we say 8 minutes, like, unfortunately, there's not much wiggle room.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I have a lot more time to give, and I'll be like, okay, so you have 10-ish minutes. If you do 12, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, like, hard light you. I'll light you at 10. I'm going to light you at 12. You do more than that, I'm going to start waving, you know? So, like, you can be nice and give people a lot of time, but, like, it's easy to get taken advantage of.
Yes.
I think especially just by new people, sometimes, and people who just don't know, or if somebody's like a real big shot. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't believe it. And I just, it ruined the show.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Running the light.
It's just disrespectful.
Yeah. Pet peeves is like the last thing I have on the list. I like love. Do you have any other like producer pet peeves?
Of the producers? Like what they do?
Yeah.
When they, you already mentioned like the day before, probably the day before, sending everybody a reminder. Hey, just a reminder, you're on the show. It's at this time. I like knowing how long I'm going to do. A lot of people don't send out how long the sets are. Mm-hmm. I personally like that because I sometimes will tailor most sets. So, yeah.
That's a good one.
Because also, you know, somebody doesn't show up to the show and you forgot to remind them. It's like, well, shit, you know what? Like, we should be putting it in our phone right away, and it shouldn't be that hard to remember, but we all mess up, so.
And also, you just want to know that they're taking it seriously, because, you know, you get booked on a lot of shows where the guy's like, sorry to gender stereotype, but it's a guy. guy's like, oh, right, my show, yeah, you could come if you want. You're like, well, I said no to another show, so I could, what's happening? Is this happening?
Yeah, totally.
I have a list of pet peeves. Can I go through them?
Yes, please.
Okay. So one is deliver on your promise. For example, your half and half show. If you didn't do half and half stuff, then you shouldn't call it half and half.
Right.
Like if you're going to give away free squirt guns at your show giveaway, don't just bring one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that.
Don't say Seinfeld's going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Tell performers what time the show starts, not what time the doors are. Tell them what time you want them to arrive. And be fair. Don't make them come a half hour early because you have an anxiety problem.
I do have a question with that. Would you say, because sometimes people will be like, doors at 7:30, show at 8.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bar, so I don't really know if the doors thing is a thing because it's not a separate room. But is there any advantages to saying that it starts a little earlier than it does just so people get there? Or not necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, some people are just going to be late. I used to do this thing where I would be like, we start at 8:30, and now I think I'm more likely to say, we start at 8:30, can you get there by 8:20? Like, let me know if you can't, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't say, we start at 8, because I just don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah,
same.
I mean, there's people that are, like, notoriously late or, like, don't show up, and then you're like, oh, no.
Oh, no, I meant for the, like, the...
tell the audience, not the comment. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the thing of, for your situation where you don't have a private room, I think saying doors is silly because doors open
right.
the moment
exactly.
the bar opens.
Yeah. So I couldn't say that, but I don't know if there's.
But your show is at what time? 8?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be amenable to saying show at 8 and then starting at 8:15?
Right.
That's what we do at Side
right?
Ponytail.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's about
15 minutes is fine.
It's not egregious.
Yeah. I think saying 8 and then not starting till. I usually say for my variety show, doors at 8. Show 8:30 and people show up at 8 and they're like, isn't it starting right now? And I was like, sorry, it said doors at 8, show it. I can't, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I do really like the saying 8, starting at 8:15, especially
totally.
If it's not a separate. Yeah.
Makes
no one
sense.
Can be too mad about waiting 15 minutes, but some people keep them waiting for like, you know, 45, which is crazy.
Yep.
And then my final pet peeve, don't expect your performers to promote your show for you.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
We are all working on our own stuff. I don't want to take on, I mean, I'm like really honored to perform. Like I love performing and I don't mind like saying what shows I'm on, but it, like, and some people are like, hey, if you want to share, and I'm like, great, I do want to share. I'm going to put that on my Instagram stories or, you know, and I'm excited to perform on these shows, so I do want to share it with people, but I don't like it when people are like, can you please, like, no one's going to come if you don't do this. I'm like, well, why didn't you promote your show properly?
When you make it a homework assignment.
Exactly. That's not really fair.
Yeah.
I think that is it. Okay. For this kind of stuff, do you have any other questions before
I
we
don't.
End
this
it?
Has been super helpful. Yes,
been
this
helpful?
This has been extremely helpful.
Okay, good. Because I like feel very strongly about all this stuff. Obviously, it's not like you can mess up a million of these things that we talked about and still have a great show. So it's not like all of this is like the only way to do it. It's just what I found that works. I'm super excited about it. And if you are listening and you enjoyed this, I did a lot of research into Patreon and to Kickstarter. And I said, fuck it, because Kickstarters disappear and Patreon means it's like an ongoing, you're always paying me forever for what's going to be a 6-part series. So if you want to donate because you got something out of this, just Venmo me at Emily-Winter. You can just Venmo me and it will help me pay my rent and it will help my producer who I'm going to pay a little bit. So that's great. If you Venmo me and you want to leave a question or tweet your question to me at Emily MC Winter, Emily McWinter. My middle name is McKenna and now I have an annoying handle. Tweet your questions to me and I'm going to do an episode that's just all answering questions or mostly answering questions. That would be awesome. Also, if you live in New York and Brooklyn and you want to Venmo me, that's great. And you want my list of places to send, it's not a secret. I just give me your email address and I will share it with you if that's helpful. Whether you're listening to this in January or July, it doesn't matter. Just let me know and give me feedback. Also, Abby, tell us when your first show is, where they can find it, and where they can find you.
Awesome. So the first show is January 7th at Zombie House, not Zombie Hut. It's on Flatbush, so it's off the Parkside Queue. And it's at 8 p.m. And it's going to be the first Sunday every month. And then for me, Instagram and Twitter at Abby Rosenquist. And that's usually where I post stuff. I have a website that I'm fairly good at updating. It's just abbyrosenquist.com. But yeah.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to do 6 of these, I think. One's focusing on themed shows. One's focusing on throwing shows on the road, festivals, hosting, and sketch and how to throw sketch and improv shows, and just general Q&A for our last one. So thanks for listening. I hope that this was helpful and fun. I had a blast. I feel great. Okay, bye. Woo-hoo.
Thanks for listening to How to Produce Live Comedy. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes. And you can donate to me and my producer on Venmo at Emily-Winter. To find me online, visit my website, emilywintercomedy.com, or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Emily McWinter. It's Emily MC Winter. You can find photos from shows I produce on our network website, brainmachinenetwork.com. Thanks so much.